And today's gospel has quite a long list. Comes from John chapter 6, verses 35, 51, 54, and 55, 58. Then we go to 11, 25 through 26. So there's going to be a trivia question after the church. Okay, so I am the bread of life. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Some of you, if not many, know that I had served at Barstow First United Methodist Church as pastor from 1999 through 2003, just before moving to San Diego. During those 4 years, one of the most interesting activities that my family and I enjoyed was lobster dinner outreach program at the Barstow Church was hosting. This photo shows my younger daughter, Esther, when she was about 3 years old. Several cases of wholesale fresh lobsters were shipped from the state of Maine through a special FedEx overnight delivery, then a church volunteer, along with a good number of volunteers, hosted a lobster dinner, not only for the congregation, but also for the Barstow community. This program had been initiated by the church and had become famous among everyone in that small community, even before I got there. Marge Brown, in this photo on the left, was the volunteer coordinator of the church, and because she still had close friends and family in Maine, she had a special connection with a reliable lobster seller so that she could buy finest quality lobsters at a discounted price. Anyhow, I'm not trying to talk about lobsters or fundraising or outreach event this morning. I learned that Marge Brown, bless her heart, passed away 5 years ago, 2011, and now in God's peaceful presence and embrace. When she was very active in the church, she gave me a special gift saying she got it while she was visiting her hometown in Maine. It was a plaque with a beautiful poem entitled, My Name is I Am, written by an unknown person. I still have the plaque in my study. Let me share that poem with you. I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly, my Lord was speaking, My name is I Am. He paused. I waited. He continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I will be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I am. Interestingly, on the back of the frame, this tiny sticker is attached. It says, "Made at Maine State Prison, Thomaston, Maine, by an inmate." I'm not sure if this inmate wrote this poem or not, but I'm sure this inspiring poem helps not only for those who are in the same situation as this inmate was in, but also for everyone else. Even though this is just a poem, we all remember Moses' encounter, famous encounter with God found in the book of Exodus. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Yes, God's divine identity is truly, "I am who I am." Therefore, in the Gospel of John, Jesus' seven I am sayings directly echo God's self-revelation as "I am who I am." By using this statement, Jesus claims his divinity, pre-existence, and divine authority, identifying himself as the eternal self-existent God, Yahweh. When Jesus says, "I am," he's not just claiming a title, but affirming the divine name Yahweh, indicating his equality with God, his eternality, and his authority. These "I am" sayings use metaphors to illustrate what Jesus does for humanity. Number one, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is the only source of a true, eternal, spiritual sustenance. Number two, "I am the light of the world." Jesus guides believers out of darkness of sin and ignorance. Number three, "I am the gate / door." Jesus is the true entrance to safety and salvation. Number four, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus is the loving protector and defender who sacrifices his life for his sheep, the followers. Number five, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus has authority over death and is the source of eternal life. Number six, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the embodiment of God who is the source of our abundant life now and forevermore. Number seven, "I am the true vine." Jesus is the source of life and spiritual fruitfulness, emphasizing dependence on him. Yes, these seven statements serve to move people from just knowing about Jesus to placing their faith in him, offering assurance of salvation, guidance, and spiritual nourishment. By the way, maybe all these seven I am sayings might be another good exclusive sermon series topics, probably some other time, coming soon. Anyhow, this morning and next Sunday, I'd like to share with you my two sermons focused on just the two out of seven sayings. So this morning, you and I are going to focus on one of Jesus' sayings, "I am the bread of life." "I am the bread of life" teaches that Jesus is the sole source of eternal spiritual sustenance, satisfying deep soul hunger that earthly things cannot. This morning, I'd like to share with you my three insight points on I am the bread of life. Number one, your meaningful and joyful life is found by believing in Jesus. Life is a precious gift from God and is expected to be lived fully, meaningfully, and joyfully. Bread is an essential nourishment for sustaining life. That's why when Jesus proclaims, "I am the bread of life," it is a very significant statement that conveys a fundamental and profound truth. Beyond its nutritional value, bread was a powerful cultural and religious symbol in ancient Hebrew society and many other ancient civilizations, representing divine blessing, the fruit of human labor, and the deep connection between community and land. Interestingly, it is known that according to Egyptian Arabic, the words bread and life are the same word, Aish. This signifies that you cannot separate bread from life, or vice versa. This point might be a timeless and universal truth. No wonder Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life, the eternal bread, and the bread from heaven. Yes, Jesus is the source of a true life, and he gives us the meaning of life and satisfaction and happiness. Unlike temporary physical bread, Jesus provides essential, lasting spiritual sustenance that satisfies the deepest human longings for purpose and immortality. He offers eternal life rather than just physical survival. Yes, we all remember one of the most important Bible verses about eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Being the bread of life, Jesus provides you eternal life. Number two, daily spiritual reliance is essential for your life journey. Last Sunday's sending hymn, what we sang together was Bread of Life, right? Led by the Response Praise Band. This song's first stanza begins with Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life, I am the bread of life, and you, my child, will never go hungry again." Remember that? Exactly. When you have this bread of life, you will never go hungry again. Coming to and believing in Jesus is the essential part required to receive this life. This implies a continuous daily reliance on Jesus. Whenever we recite the Lord's Prayer, we always pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Yes, we need our daily bread. This phrase teaches us to come to God in a spirit of a humble dependence, asking him to provide what we need and to sustain us from day to day, not only physically, but also spiritually. Remember those Israelites in the wilderness who needed new manna daily rather than relying on past accumulations or experiences. Adam Hamilton writes in his book, The Message of Jesus, regarding the gift of manna, quote, "When the Israelites had been liberated from slavery in Egypt and lived in the Sinai for 40 years, God provided bread for them in the form of manna. God provided just enough each day, a practice intended to remind the Israelites that God was the source of their lives. Manna came to symbolize God's provision for God's people and their dependence upon God for life, unquote. Yes, daily spiritual reliance is absolutely necessary and essential for your life journey, especially your limited time, limited life on this earth, whether it's going to be short, long, or extra long. We all are familiar with Jesus' promise, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seeking the kingdom of God definitely includes dwelling in Christ's words. Jesus proclaims, "If you abide in me, in my words, and then you are truly my disciples." Number three, Jesus invites you to eat his body for life and to be bread for the world. Verse 51, Jesus proclaims, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." By stating, "Whoever eats of this bread will live forever," or "whoever feeds on me will live forever," Jesus calls for a deep, intimate internalization of his presence and words, not just intellectual assent. It highlights that we are sustained by a living relationship with him, transforming our being through his. These lessons teach that Jesus offers spiritual fulfillment and eternal life that cannot be attained through worldly endeavors. Eating this bread is a metaphor, of course, for believing in him, accepting his sacrifice on the cross, and trusting him as the Son of God. Again, in verse 51, Jesus emphasizes that, "And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Here, when Jesus says, "I am the living bread," its meaning is in two folds. Number one, Jesus is the bread that is alive. Number two, Jesus is the bread that gives life. That's why dwelling in Christ's eternal and living words keep us alive daily, day by day, over and over, for life and beyond. One of my favorite devotional resources is Bread for the Journey, a day book of wisdom and faith, written by Henry J. M. Nouwen, who was a Dutch Catholic priest, professor, writer, and theologian. Under the title of "Jesus, Our Food and Drink," he writes, quote, "Sometimes we might think, I wish I had been there with Jesus and his apostles long ago. But Jesus is closer to us now than he was to his own friends. Today, he is our daily bread." My sisters and brothers in Christ, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of your life and my life. Jesus is the bread of life for the whole world. Jesus is the bread of life today, here and now and forever. Therefore, we are called to be bread ourselves for the world. In this sense, one of the best and most practical ways for us to be bread for the world is to participate in a Riverside Crab Hunger Walk, like today at 1:30 p.m. to be held at our church campus. If you're not able to walk as a walker, you can sponsor one or more of the walkers. Hunger is one of the most serious and constant concerns around the world, and your participation in this Crop Hunger Walk in any way you can make a meaningful difference to save lives. There is a song titled Let Us Be Bread, 2260 from the Faith We Sing songbook. It is a beautiful communion song that goes like this. Let us be bread, blessed by the Lord, broken and shared, life for the world. Let us be wine, love freely poured. Let us be one in the Lord. And in a minute, we are going to sing this song together as our hymn of dedication. So, to be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.